borderline personality disorder, or BPD, is estimated to affect around 1.8% of the population at any given time. However, it remains a widely misunderstood mental health disorder characterized by a set of difficulties that affects a person's sense of self, their emotions, and their relationships. Joining us today in the studio is Molly Jewell, a graphic artist and communication designer, as well as someone working with the National BPD Lived Experience as an advocate. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you very much for coming in.
No problem.
So can you tell us, I mean, I personally don't know, you know, borderline personality disorder is something I haven't really come across myself much. Can you give us a bit of a rundown, some of like what it entails?
It's a mental health disorder, and it's characterized by, like you said, a struggle with identity, difficulties in relationships, a lot of self-harming, and chronic suicidality goes along with it. It's a very difficult disorder to have. It's probably now considered to be one of the most severe mental health issues that you can have. There's some differing research on what causes it. Some people believe that as a child you can be predisposed to it. You can be kind of more sensitive to that. And then, of course, there is people who experience trauma, and it's basically can be a reaction to trauma. So it's very broad. And the way people experience it is very different. But the things that most people have in common is things like black and white thinking. So I love it, I hate it, and there's no gray area.
Like I'm indifferent to this.
Yes, exactly. So basically it's the extremes probably of everybody's personality, like most mental health issues, but where those beliefs and those behaviors become problematic. And that's what kind of classifies it as a disorder.
And what led to your own diagnosis of this?
Well, I was actually a bit of a late bloomer. I didn't really grow up in an environment where it was okay to access mental health issues. So I was 27 before I was diagnosed, which is quite late. And I was diagnosed.
So when are most people roughly diagnosed
these days? In their teens, they're diagnosed with something called an emerging personality disorder, because the disorder can concurrently sit with addictions and things like that. And it's difficult to give somebody a mental health disorder when they're going through an addiction because, of course, the behaviors, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's earlier these days. Definitely it's on the radar.
It's really good.
Yes. Yeah. So that means that people are getting treatment earlier, which is great. So I was 27, and what led to me getting diagnosed was that I started to realize that getting out of the environment that I grew up in, other people thought my behavior was quite strange, where I was kind of like, what do you mean? This is just who I am. And they were kind of like, not really acceptable. So, and I started to notice that it was just like it was affecting my life, and I wasn't like people my age. I didn't have the same accomplishments and achievements they did. And so I had one episode that led me to an emergency room, and from there, I was diagnosed.
Now, mental health disorders always have lots of misinformation and you know, misconceptions about them in general. And borderline personality disorder is definitely not exempt from that. What are some of the sort of, you know, misconceptions and misconstrues that people, you know, have around this?
It's actually one of the most stigmatized mental health illnesses in anywhere. There's lots of research to back that up, especially by mental health professionals in mental health services. No, so it's not good. It's really, really not good. So the misconceptions are that we are badly behaved, that our behavior is attention seeking. And there was a belief, you know, kind of back in the day, hopefully that's not still there, that it was basically just a behavioral conduct disorder that we were choosing to be like this. And so the misconceptions are basically that we're doing this on purpose. We have control.
Possession by
it.
The devil,
yeah.
All the usual kind of like exactly. list of
yeah, definitely. You know, that, you know, we're just really oversensitive and we're snowflakes.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
like just take a walk in the mountains. And,
do some exercise, go for a walk.
So you said a lot of mental health professionals themselves have, you know, misconceptions about this. Do doctors, GPs receive, like, you know, targeted training for this kind of thing, or you know, how are they trained to deal with this or understand it.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is that they're not trained.
Right.
And the training that we've seen from actually speaking to clinicians about their training, they're a lot of the time actually trained to avoid us. So they have a bit of a classification with BPD in some places where you have do not admit put on your file.
I've never heard of something like that.
Yes. Yeah, so basically it's like there was one research study that came out that said, you know, that long-term inpatient admissions don't help people with BPD, which is completely fact, mm-hmm. 110% fact. Mm-hmm. But acute, you know, 2-3 night stays when there's a suicide attempt.
Like addressing a particular episode or incident, yeah.
Exactly. But then, you know, that's been misconstrued as like, oh, don't admit them. And also there's a conception that that we will make other people unwell, that we will trigger other people.
It's contagious?
Contagion is exactly what it's called. It's a horrible word, and I hate that people
use it. Makes
it
sound like
a
plague, yeah.
Exactly. And it's one of the reasons why there isn't a lot of support groups for other people with BPD. When you do DBT, for example, you're not allowed to speak to each other.
So you said, talk about support groups. What sort of treatment or therapies exist for, you know, borderline personality disorder?
The gold standard of treatment is a therapy called DBT, or dialectical behavioral therapy.
Okay.
It was developed by a woman called Dr. Marsha Linehan in the States, who also came out as a consumer very, very late in her career because of the stigma. And basically, how that program works is that you do group therapy, and you might do that 1 to 2 times a mm-hmm. week, it depends. And then you also have an individual therapist that you're speaking with. And in the group therapy, you learn skills. It's a very cognitive type of therapy, so you do have to have a high level of comprehension to do mm-hmm. it. But it just talks about there's like discipline. So interpersonal relationships is one. Self-soothing and self-care is another. You know, addressing the black and white thinking and learning to think in the gray mm-hmm. a little bit.
So it's kind of just realizing like what areas, you know, in your life may be affected, and then kind of working through techniques to handle it.
Yeah, so you do it as modules. It's like set mm-hmm. up like a training session. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about it is that it's circular, so that you can continue to go back and do the modules, mm-hmm. you know. And I think it's something that, you know, everybody can actually benefit from. Like, I know people who don't have BPD that look at DBT and they're like, this is great.
And I assume that the dialectical therapy can also help with other, of course, issues that people may have.
Yeah, it's now currently used a lot in addiction, mm-hmm. Which is great.
So you mentioned the overlap before.
Yes. So we see a lot of people that are experiencing addiction that are using DBT, because it's basically just like really, it's, you know, things like mindfulness, like literally tools that anybody can mm-hmm. use in their daily life. So.
You know, where can people go to find out more about BPD if they, you know, I want to know more or identify with it or, you know, just are keen to figure it out?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of places that you can actually go this week because it's National Borderline Personality Disorder Week. And so we have a campaign that we're running that's called No BPD, as in KNOW. Stigma.
Yes.
We believe that if we educate, then people mm-hmm. will kind of stop stigmatizing us. So you can go to the Australian BPD Foundation mm-hmm. website, and all the links are there. If you're in New South Wales, you can go to Project AIR Strategy, and they're kind of like the top researchers. We're so lucky to have them. They go and train people, and they're amazing. And they've got a directory that you can look at, mm. lots of fact sheets. Mental Health Carers New South Wales also have that. If you're in Victoria, Spectrum Personality Disorder.
So it sounds like there's quite a lot of support for it, even if it's something that's very widely you know.
There is in New South Wales and Victoria,
right.
Unfortunately.
But not Australia as a whole.
Not much else. I was recently in South Australia, and they're mm-hmm. really struggling over there, and they're kind of on their way to building something in South right. Australia, so that's great. And then I was in Brisbane, and they're also struggling. But, you know, everyone's coming on board, and the good thing about this week is that we've got 7 events happening in 6 states and territories in Australia. So it's like kind of the biggest ever been. So that's great. And so people can go to those events, and they're made for like people who have the diagnosis, people who support someone with the diagnosis, and people who work with the diagnosis.
Well, it's very reassuring to hear. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us about it and clearing up a few of the no doubt misconceptions that people have about it.
No problem. Thank you very much.